each stage of life a chance to grow. With faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila Seasons of Life in which we discuss the various favors a person goes through in life. And today, mashallah, on the Silsila Seasons of Life, we do have a beautiful topic of discussion, and that is regarding mending hearts, restoring peace. So yes, we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion, and what we are going to be highlighting on is to maintain ties with one another, to maintain family ties. You know, at times it happens where you may have, you know, siblings who grew up together, you know, spend their childhood together, spend their teenage years together, and as they grew up, then for some odd reason they stop talking to each other, perhaps because of an argument, because of a difference, and they broke ties off, and various other aspects we are going to be covering as well. Hence the topic, mending hearts, restoring peace. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully said that when people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meet, shake hands, and recite durood-e paak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their past and future sins are forgiven before they part ways. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So let us also take this opportunity to send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. First and foremost, we thank our most merciful Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all of the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. And upon every state that we may be in, we are taught to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. That no matter our circumstances, no matter our situation, no matter our state, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every single state and circumstances that you and I may be in. So yes, the viewers of Madani Channel, we are discussing this insightful, eye-opening topic, mending hearts, restoring peace. Now, it's something that people find it quite difficult to do. It could be with siblings, it could be with cousins, it could be with uncles, it could be, you know, anyone for that matter. And to mend those ties, to bring people together, for one to take the first initiative, to take the first step. Sometimes people find it so hard, wherein there is so much of reward, there is so much of benefit in reconciling with others. Those who you have had an argument with, reconcile with them. Those who broke ties with you, reconcile with them, join those ties, mend those ties. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what we are going to be discussing in this episode, in which it will highlight to us how important it is for you and I to maintain family ties and not to just break them off for any reason, you know, for any trivial matter. Nowadays, you know, you may get people who break off ties for trivial matters, small things, and people are so quick to break ties off. Even it could be with their blood brother, with their blood sister, and they would break off ties without feeling no guilt, nothing. To explain to you the rewards, the benefits of initiating reconciliation first, I mentioned to you a beautiful narration that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had said that, "I came to know there was a disagreement between Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So he says that he goes to the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said that people look up to both of you as their leaders. Why don't you go to your elder brother, Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and reconcile with him since you are younger than him? Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he heard this and he said that if I had not heard the beautiful saying of my Nana Jan, of my beloved grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one who initiates reconciliation will be the first to enter paradise. So he says that I would have definitely gone to him, but I don't wish to enter paradise before him, before my elder brother. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he continued, he says that he went to Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told him the entire incident, what had transpired. Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that my brother, he has spoken the truth. And he then stood up, he went to his brother Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and reconciled with him. Subhanallah, subhanallah, how beautiful was that, divis of Madani Channel. From this we learn that even if we become displeased with someone, we should muster up the courage and take the first step towards reconciliation. Now, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he once encouraged two estranged brothers to reconcile by saying that whoever takes the first step to meet, to reconcile, will be the one to take the first step towards paradise. Many views of Madani Channel, Shaitan, as we know, he is our open enemy. He is the enemy of man. Shaitan, he incites division, fighting, and violence among Muslims. And he does not let them be inclined towards reconciliation. Even if a kind-hearted person intervenes to make peace between them, what will Shaitan do? Shaitan puts different kinds of doubts in the hearts, provoking and inciting them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns you and I, warns us of Shaitan's deceitful attacks in the Holy Quran, in which it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that indeed Shaitan is an open enemy for mankind. And in the seventh part of the Holy Quran, Surah Ma'idah, it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَيُّوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, that indeed, Shaitan only desires to instill enmity and extreme hatred between you through alcohol and gamblings. Now, all of us, we all should live in harmony. You know, in households where there are ongoing disagreements among family members, whether between mother and daughter, father and son, siblings, in-laws or other relatives, or if there are conflicts with neighbors, friends, or within tribes and communities, or even competition amongst, you know, shopkeepers in the market. All such Muslims should reconcile sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should come together to remove the destructive schemes of Shaitan who sows discord among them. You know, indeed, conflicts and disputes, they bring countless harms in both this world and in the hereafter. Those lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who read, you know, or listen to this, inshallah, such people, you know, we will develop a mindset to avoid conflicts and embrace forgiveness and tolerance. You know, a person who frequently gets emotional and angry often becomes the cause of conflicts. Those who are prone to anger, they should be cautious, because losing control due to anger, driven by the ego, driven by the nafs, it can lead to actions that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, potentially resulting in falling into the deep pits of hell. What is anger? What do we understand by anger? The definition of it. Anger, it is the surging of blood from the heart due to the intention of taking revenge. Now here, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he says that anger or ghadab is the term for that surge in the ego, in the nafs, which incites one to take revenge or to repel. to drive away the other. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has mentioned that there is a door in hell through which only those will enter whose anger subsides only after disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So this is something that we need to control. We need to control our anger. You know, Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullah, he rented a house which was adjacent to the house of a Jewish neighbor. Out of enmity, the Jew would deliberately cause dirty water to flow into Sayyidina Malik's house through the drain pipe. Now, despite the Sayyidina Malik, rahimahullah, he remained silent. So one day, the Jewish man approached and asked that, "Sir, doesn't the dirty water from my drain cause you any discomfort?" Sayyidina Imam Malik, rahimahullah, what did he reply? He said that, I simply sweep it away and wash that area." The Jewish man then asked that, "Despite this hardship, don't you get angry?" Sayyidina Imam Malik, rahimahullah, responded, he says that, I do get angry, but I control it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al Imran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And control rage and forgive people, and Allah loves the righteous. Now, when upon hearing this response, the Jewish man, subhanallah, he embraced Islam. I mean, look at the duties of Mother Nature. Look at the benefits and the blessings of gentleness. The Jewish man was so moved by the kindness that he embraced Islam. One of the destructive consequences of anger is that it breeds hatred, which can sometimes lead to violence and bloodshed. And then we see also another spiritual disease that brings about disunity, that brings about cutting off ties, etc., is holding a grudge, having a grudge. What is a grudge? What is the definition of a grudge? Holding feelings of hatred, displeasure, enmity, and malice against a person and wishing evil for him is called a grudge. Allahu Akbar. Now, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, people's deeds are presented twice a week, on Mondays and Thursdays. Every believer is forgiven except for the two brothers who hold enmity between for each other. It is said that leave them until they reconcile. Allahu Akbar. How we can see and understand how detrimental this is, that it is not a small matter. You know, look at the consequences of holding a grudge, that you are being left until you reconcile. Likewise, we see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the 15th of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at His servants with mercy and forgives everyone except for the mushrikeen and the one who holds enmity. So, dear of Mother Nation, remember that cutting off relationships with other Muslims solely due to personal grievances and without any valid reason as per Sharia is a sin and forbidden haram. It's an action that leads to hell. It is haram to harbor baseless grudges and enmity against a Muslim. And it's also forbidden to refrain from greeting or speaking to a Muslim for more than 3 days without a valid Sharia reason. Allahu Akbar. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith that it's not permissible, you know, for a Muslim to abandon his brother for more than 3 days. Whoever abandons his brother for more than 3 days and dies in this state will enter hell. Allahu Akbar. This is something for you and I to ponder upon. That we should be of those people who mend ties, who join ties, not those who break them. Even if someone breaks ties with you, your duty is to go take that first step. Leave the ego one side and all of those evil qualities, leave it one side. And wholeheartedly, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go ask for forgiveness or forgive that person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the du'as of 3 types of people do not rise above their heads even by a hand's span. Number one is an imam of a community whom the people dislike. The second is a woman who spends the night while her husband is displeased with her. The third, two brothers who are estranged from each other without a valid Shari'i reason. Allahu Akbar. Three types of people leaves of Madani channel. So remember, without a Shari'i permitted reason, personal grievances among individuals, they often lead to sins like suspicion, backbiting, gossip, and slander. And all of these are actions that lead to Jahannam. And due to such grievances, there is often a sinful tendency to expose the faults of each other, making it now crucial to exercise caution. You know, if a Muslim's fault becomes known, it is essential to conceal it. And there's so much of reward in concealing a Muslim's faults. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whoever conceals the fault of another, it is as though he revived a girl who was buried alive. Allahu Akbar. Now, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he has given us some clarification of this hadith. He says that the fault in question should not concern the rights of another Muslim and should be something the person wants to keep hidden. Some hadith commentators have stated that this refers to the satr, to the private parts of a Muslim man or woman. It means if someone sees another person in an exposed state, they should cover them with a cloth. And it's possible that both interpretations are intended. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that frequently recite salawat upon me. Indeed, your recitation of durood upon me is a means of purification for you. Likewise, if you see someone's fault, then you should privately tell them that, look, don't repeat this action in the future, or else you won't be spared. And then conceal his fault from others. This way, you offer guidance and also protect the dignity of that Muslim. However, if this person is conspiring to kill or harm someone, then obviously you must inform the potential victim to prevent harm. You know, if the person is a habitual offender, you should announce it. The intent of this teaching is not to hide the crimes of secret thieves or murderers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sayings, they are very, very comprehensive. Meaning that the reward for concealing this fault is like to revive a girl buried who was alive. Because the honor of a Muslim is as sacred as his life. And so in any case, protecting the honor of a Muslim that is on the verge of being lost is highly rewarding. But the restrictions, meaning the clarifications we have mentioned, must be kept in mind. Now, what should a Muslim be like, dear viewers of Madani channel? Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. He does not oppress him, nor does he abandon him. Whoever fulfills the need of his brother, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill his needs. Whoever relieves a Muslim of distress, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will relieve him of distress on the day of Qiyamah. And whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. So, dear viewers of Madani channel, we need to cover the faults of others. No, it's pointless that the energy that we have, yet we use it to go around and tell so-and-so person that, look, this person is like this person is like that, he got this fault and he got that fault. I mean, what benefit did you gain? How did you benefit yourself and how did you benefit others? When a hadith beautifully says that the best amongst you are those who are of benefit to others, are those who benefit others. So instead of channeling our energy into a very, very negative way, we can use it in a positive way by looking within ourselves. I mean, how much of faults we are sitting with? Leave alone the next person, how much of faults you and I are sitting with within ourselves? That same time that, you know, you take to look at the faults of others, use that time, use that energy to look at the faults within you. Because when you do that, it will actually better you. It will make you a better person. It will improve you. It will make you better than you were yesterday, because you are taking a self-introspection that, okay, I got this fault, I got that fault, I did this mistake, I got that mistake. I need to rectify it. You rectify it, you become better. You're empowering yourself. When you empower yourself, you empower others as well. This is the benefit of Mother Nature, together with the rewards that are there in concealing the faults of others. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that whoever sees his brother's faults and conceals it, covers it, he will be admitted into Jannah. He will be admitted into paradise. Now often, due to mutual displeasure, backbiting becomes rampant, widespread, and backbiting is a major sin, forbidden, and an act leading to Jahannam. When resentment settles in the hearts and conflict arises, then a flood of backbiting and slander emerges, driving both the perpetrators and listeners towards Jahannam. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it has been narrated that on the night of Mi'raj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that I passed by people who were scratching their faces and chests with copper nails. So I asked, O Jibreel, who are these people? And he said, these are the ones who ate the flesh of others. Meaning, they engaged in backbiting and tarnished their honor. This is how destructive backbiting is. What is the meaning of it? What is the definition of it, of backbiting? In simple terms, it is to talk about a person, alive or deceased, by exposing his hidden faults, the disclosure of which he dislikes, to condemn him. So to talk about a person by exposing his hidden faults, to condemn him. And another narration mentions, whoever slanders a Muslim, meaning says something about him that is not true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place them in radghatul khabal until he retracts his statement. Now, radghatul khabal is a place in hell where the blood and pus of the inhabitants of hell will accumulate. Allahu Akbar. You know, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahimahullah says that this means, meaning explaining until they retract their statement, he says that this means that either they repent of the sin and thus become free of it, or they endure the punishment they deserve for slander and thereby become purified from the sin of slander. Remember that expressing a curse against someone who has wronged you is an act of revenge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whoever curses the oppressor has taken their revenge. So a Muslim, divas of Madani channel, should avoid quarreling for personal reasons. Even if someone offends you, it is better to refrain from disputes and adopt forgiveness, thus keeping away from quarrels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever refrains from quarreling, even when he is right, I guarantee a house in the inner corner of paradise for him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, what business do Muslims have quarreling among themselves? In fact, they are protectors of one another. Yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a perfect Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hands no harm comes to other Muslims. And a perfect migrant is the one who leaves what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Yeah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, explaining this hadith, he says that a complete Muslim is the one who in every state, linguistically and according to Sharia, is a Muslim. A true believer is the one who does not engage in backbiting against any Muslim, does not insult, does not taunt, does not speak ill of him, does not physically harm him, and does not write anything against him. He further says that a complete migrant, muhajir, is a Muslim who, in addition to leaving his homeland, also abandons sin. Now, this abandonment of sins is in a linguistic sense, a form of migration that will continue perpetually. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to gesture with his eyes in a manner that causes harm to another Muslim. And another instance, he said that it is not permissible for a Muslim to frighten another Muslim. Allah, this shows, dear viewers of Madinah, how sacred the honor of a Muslim is, the respect of a Muslim is. I mean, indeed, you know, the matter of the rights of fellow humans is delicate. But today, audacity is so rampant, so widespread. Common people and sometimes even notable individuals remain heedless of this matter. You know, the disease, the problem is the disease of expressing anger without due cause is widespread. Due to anger, many prominent individuals also hurt others' feelings. And they are completely oblivious to the sin. I mean, surely hurting a Muslim without a valid shari'i reason is a major sin, haram, and an act leading to hell. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man aadha musliman faqad aadhani wa man aadhani faqad aadha Allah. That whoever offends a Muslim without a valid shari'i reason has offended me, and whoever offends me has offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Offending Allah ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such a grave wrongdoing committed by the kuffar, by the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Those who offend Allah and His Messenger, Allah has deprived them of mercy in this world and the hereafter, and has prepared a humiliating punishment for them. Allahu Akbar. Now, particularly revealing the faults or mistakes of a preacher, and especially scholars, to others and spreading them among people, it is extremely harmful. This behavior is extremely detrimental to the call to righteousness and the propagation of Islam, causing severe damage both in this world and in the hereafter. Now, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimullah, he said that if such a grave mistake occurs from the Ahlul Sunnah by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obligatory to conceal it. Ma'adullah, people become mistrustful of them. The benefit that their speeches, their writings brings to Islam and Sunnah will be disrupted. Spreading it is spreading evil gossip. And spreading evil gossip is expressly forbidden in the Holy Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, innal ladhina yuhibbuna an tashi'a al fahishatu fil ladhina amanu lahum adhabun alim fid dunya wal akhirah. Those who desire that indecency spreads within Muslims, there is painful punishment for them in this world and in the hereafter. That is why the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, recite abundant durood upon me, because indeed your reciting durood upon me is a means of forgiveness for your sins. So we need to also increase our recitation of salawat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, especially when those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have turned towards the truth without any hesitation or excuse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever shames his brother for a sin will not die before committing that same sin. Now, some people have a very quarrelsome nature. They criticize unnecessarily, nitpick, they cause discord over every little thing, every trivial thing, thus becoming a source of harm to Muslims. Now, such people, you know, they should be fearful of the warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which in the Holy Quran it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقُ. Surely those who persecuted the believing men and the believing women, then they did not repent, there is punishment of hell for them, and there is the punishment of fire for them. Allahu Akbar. All of these warnings, reviews of Madinah, inshallah, from the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Holy Quran, with all of this, we need to prevent ourselves from causing disunity among Muslims. We need to protect ourselves from spreading hatred, from having suspicion, from backbiting. We need to uphold the honor of other Muslims, especially that of scholars. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that fitna is asleep. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the one who awakens it. Allah, thieves of Madinah, you should remember this principle, that impurity is not cleansed by impurity, but by water. So if someone treats you with foolishness, we should strive to respond with kindness and love. Inshallah, you'll see beautiful results and your heart will be at ease. You know, those people are truly fortunate who, instead of retaliating, they forgive the oppressor and repel evil with good. You know, in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. Repel evil with what is best. Then he between whom and you there is enmity will become as though he is a close friend. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Here, what a beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran. In Khazain al-Irfan, it explains the method of repelling evil with good. For example, anger with patience, ignorance with forbearance, with gentleness, and mistreatment with forgiveness and tolerance. If someone wrongs you, forgive him. The result of this trait will be that enemies will become like loving friends. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This ayah, the context of this revelation, it's mentioned that this ayah was revealed regarding Abu Sufyan, who, despite his intense enmity, was treated kindly by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam honored him by taking his daughter Sayyida Ummi Habiba radiyallahu ta'ala anha in his marriage. As a result, subhanallah, he became a sincere lover and a devoted sahabi companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, as of now, viewers of Madinah Insurance, there is much more to discuss. And when we come back, we are going to be mentioning some beautiful examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on how he reconciled between people, how he forgave people after coming back and listening to this beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will be discussing this aspect. So for now, let us go and listen to this kalam in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, 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 Madina. Madine jaane walon jao jao fi amanillah. Madine jaane walon jao jao fi amanillah. مدینے میں مدینے میں تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گم گنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گم گنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا ہر ہر قدم پہ ہوگی لطف و کرم کی بارش ہر ہر قدم پہ ہوگی لطف و کرم کی بارش جنت سے کم نہیں ہے رستہ میرے نبی کا جنت سے کم نہیں ہے رستہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا یوں جنتی سفر کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے یوں جنتی سفر کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے دستے کرم ہے ان پر رکھا میرے نبی کا دستے کرم ہے ان پر رکھا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے
سب حاجیوں کے لب پر ذکر نبی گجاری سب حاجیوں کے لب پر ذکر نبی گجاری ہے محفل حرم میں چرچا میرے نبی کا ہے محفل حرم میں چرچا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا پائے نبی کی خوشبو ہے اب بھی ہر گلی میں پائے نبی کی خوشبو ہے اب بھی ہر گلی میں کتنا مہک رہا ہے مکہ میرے نبی کا کتنا مہک رہا ہے مکہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سرکار کی بدولت یہ برکتیں گے ساری سرکار کی بدولت یہ برکتیں گے ساری ہے اجتماع حج بھی صدقہ میرے نبی کا ہے اجتماع حج بھی صدقہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا حاصل مجھے بھی ہوگی سب سے بڑی مسرت حاصل مجھے بھی ہوگی سب سے بڑی مسرت جس دن مجھے بلاوا آیا میرے نبی کا جس دن مجھے بلاوا آیا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا عشق و ادب میں ڈل کر میرا سلام کہنا عشق و ادب میں ڈھل کر میرا سلام کہنا جس وقت ہو نظر میں روزہ میرے نبی کا جس وقت ہو نظر میں روزہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا اب کیجئے فریدی رخصت انہیں یہ کہہ کر اب کیجئے فریدی رخصت انہیں یہ کہہ کر لانا میرے لیے بھی تحفہ میرے نبی کا لانا میرے لیے بھی تحفہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ, what a beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. I'm sure it has rejuvenated our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in our lives. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing mending hearts, restoring peace. And thus far, we have mentioned various different aspects pertaining to this topic. And this, just before going to listen to this melodious kalam, we have been talking about repelling evil with good. And I want to give you some examples of this. During the conquest of Makkah, the leaders of the Quraysh and the common people, they gathered in the Haram of the Kaaba. These were the very same people who had been fierce enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 21 years. And they had greatly persecuted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions alaihim ridwan, both men and women, forcing them to migrate. Now these were the same oppressors who had launched attacks against the Muslims to annihilate Islam and had fought several wars. And now these people stood with their heads bowed, lowered, waiting to hear their fate from the blessed lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, "What do you think I will do with you?" They replied, "You will treat us kindly." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "I will say to you what Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said," and this is documented in the Holy Quran as well, in which it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. This day, there is no blame upon you. May Allah forgive you. He is the most merciful of the merciful ones. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that, Yusuf Madani Channel. All those who hurt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions, his loved ones, they were all present there, caused harm to him, troubled him, oppressed him. Yet, what was his response and reaction? He showed them kindness. He forgave them. So this is a beautiful quality that we need to implement in us as well. And we see also, the governor of Medina, Ja'far bin Sulaiman, he became displeased with the leader of millions of Malikis. And subhanAllah, that is Imam Malik, rahimahullah. And as a punishment, had him flogged. Every time the whoop struck, a prayer would come from his blessed lips, that, "Oh Allah, forgive these people, for they are unaware of the reality." He continued praying until he lost consciousness. People brought him home in the state. When he regained consciousness, he said that, "People bear witness that I have forgiven the one who beat me." He says, "May Allah shower his mercy upon him, and may he grant us forgiveness without accountability for his sake." Now, regarding forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Dear beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adopt forgiveness and enjoin righteousness and turn away from the ignorant. A teaching, beautiful teaching from the Holy Quran, that we should adopt forgiveness. Forgive others. Like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three traits. Whoever possesses them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease the process of his accountability on the day of Qiyamah and allow him entry into paradise through his mercy. So, the Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that, "I asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are those traits?" And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Mend ties with those who cut ties with you. Number two, give to those who deprive you. Number three, forgive those who oppress you." What beautiful traits, devotees of Madani Channel. Do we mend ties with those who cut ties with us? Do we give to those who deprive us? Do we forgive those who oppress us? You know, usually when a person is good to us, then automatically we're good to them. Person who does us a favor, automatically we would be all sweet and kind to them, right? And we consider that to be somewhat kindness. But that is just an exchange. Real and true kindness is someone deprives you, you're still kind to them by giving them. Someone oppresses you, you're still kind to them by forgiving them. Someone cuts ties with you, you're still kind to them by making an effort to mend those ties. I mean, we have heard of incidents, even in today's time and age, where brothers, siblings don't want to talk to each other. Why? Because of inheritance. No, I got less share, I got no share, etc., etc. And due to that, brothers, sisters, they went their own separate ways, cut off ties. Some children don't want to talk with their parents, astaghfirullah. Some don't want to talk with the other family members. And like this news of Mother Nation, this is something that we have to remove from our life, because if we adopt these beautiful traits, mend ties with those who cut with ties with you, give to those who deprive you, forgive those who oppress you, the process of your accountability on the day of Qiyamah will be quick. Don't we want that? Of course. Or each and every one of us wants that, but for that, we need to adopt these beautiful three traits. You know, treating your enemy well, spending money on someone you dislike, and maintaining good relations with someone you do not feel comfortable with, that is true bravery. Allahu Akbar. You know, it's very easy to not treat your enemy well. It's very easy to not spend on someone you don't like. It's very easy to not maintain good relations with someone you're not comfortable with. And we think true bravery is, you know, going around fighting with people, taking off with people, telling people off, making people do what you want them to do. That's not true bravery. If you can do this, then this is your true bravery. Treat your enemy well, spend money on someone you don't like, maintain a good relation with someone you don't even feel comfortable with. It takes a lot to do all of that. And that's when you are tested. If you want to pass that, then you need to adopt this, and that is called true bravery. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two of my followers will kneel before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. One will say, "Oh Allah, give me justice against this person who wronged me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the claimant, "What should he do now? He has no good deeds left." The oppressed will say, "That let my sins be placed upon him." And upon hearing this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and said that that will be a momentous day. For everyone will be in need of lightening their burdens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to the oppressed, that look before you. He will say, "Ya Rab, I see cities of gold and palaces adorned with pearls. For which prophet or siddiq or martyr are these?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "These are for the one who can pay their price." So the person will ask, "Who can afford that price?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say that "You can." And that person will ask, "How?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "By forgiving your brother's rights." The person will say, "Oh Allah, I have forgiven him." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, "Take your brother's hand and both of you enter paradise together." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that "Fear Allah and cause reconciliation among the creation." For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also cause reconciliation among Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. This beautiful hadith shows us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring reconciliation among Muslims. It encourages us. It also encourages us to live in harmony with each other, to live in unity and peace with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraging reconciliation among people says in the Holy Quran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم انما المؤمنون اخوة فاصلحوا بين اخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. Only Muslims are brothers to each other, so make peace between your two brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy. Along with other with the Quranic commandments, the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also provides us with practical examples of reconciliation. Now Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah, he writes in Khazain al-Irfan that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling on a donkey and passed by the Ansar. He stopped there for a while. During that time, the donkey urinated and Ibn Ubay closed his nose. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the urine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's donkey is more fragrant than your musk. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued his way. Now the argument between the two, it escalated and the tribes started fighting and came to blows. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and reconciled between them. And in this context, this ayah that I've recited before you, this ayah was revealed. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's mentioned in the Holy Quran, this ayah. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اِقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. And if two Muslim groups fight one another, then make peace between them. And in the fifth part of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages reconciliation, in which he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ وَأُحْذِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحَّ. And reconciliation is best. Humans are inclined to selfishness. Allahu Akbar. You know, in Sahih al-Bukhari, it is narrated by Sayyidina Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that there was a dispute among the people of Banu Amr bin Auf in Quba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went along with some of his companions to reconcile between them. Allahu Akbar. Now the noble lives of our religious elders, pious predecessors, are richly colored with acting upon these blessed verses and the practice of fostering peace. You know, these individuals, respected individuals, were always ready to make sacrifices, to sow the seeds of peace and harmony among Muslims. And a shining example of this is Sayyidina Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold in this manner that the son of mine is a Sayyid, a chief, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make peace between two groups of Muslims through him. Thus, after the martyrdom of his beloved father, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he held the position of caliphate, of khilafat, for 6 months and few days. And then to reconcile between the two groups of Muslims, he voluntarily stepped down from this position of Khilafat. So ladies of Madinah channel, we have heard various different ayat, plus a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accounts of our pious predecessors on how they adopted forgiveness, kindness, tolerance, forbearance, and forgave those who hurt them. They mended hearts and they restored peace. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Each stage of life, a chance to grow. With faith and love, the blessings flow. Seasons of life, seasons of life.